and welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Inspiration for Your Life. This is a radio show for all you infinite spiritual beings, visionaries, restless, free spirits, anyone who's ever been addicted to anything, diagnosed with OCD, ADD, or autism, or any mental issues, for you are the wonders of the world. Your gifts have never been truly appreciated until now, and you're the future of this great world, and you're here to make a difference. Yahoo! Give me a big wahoo! Hey, I was told to ask you to, or to mention that you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, The Sheila Show, also Facebook, Sheila.Gale, and YouTube, Sheila Gale Radio. Got a lot of good ones on there, a lot of nature ones. I love nature. Nature and me are really good friends. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We have an excellent show for you today, and this hour is brought to you by Access Consciousness to find out what are the infinite possibilities for your life. Go to accessconsciousness.com. Also by the Gerson Institute, curing so many diseases, cancer and all degenerative diseases. Go to gersonmedia.com. Okay, so that's one more thing. My brand new teleseminar series is starting in just 2 weeks, but you can sign up today by going to SheilaShow.com. Now, it's really important that you don't type in The Sheila Show, because that goes to an old site and an old teleseminar. So it's SheilaShow.com, and it's all about asking and receiving. We've got Michael Beckwith. We've got Greg Braden. We've got Access Consciousness people. It's going to be phenomenal. All righty, here we go. Tom Campbell, a nuclear physicist, began researching altered states of consciousness with Bob Monroe from the Monroe Institute in the early 70s. And these were early drug-free consciousness pioneers who helped design experiments, develop the technology for creating specific altered states, and were the main subjects of study all at the same time. Now, Tom has been experimenting with and exploring the subjective and objective mind ever since. His qualifications as a scientist and an explorer of the larger reality have allowed him to slowly gather, over 35 years, information and evidence needed to unify physics and metaphysics, mind and matter, normal and paranormal, and science, cosmology, ontology, epistemology, and theology are all integrated and explained within one scientific and logical theory of everything. His book is called TOE, or Theory of Everything. It is a no question about the fundamental nature, inner workings of anything fundamental to our existence. And he is with us today. Hello, Tom Campbell.
Hello, Sheila. I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. Now, just want to let our listeners know that if you go to YouTube, there's a lot of great videos with Tom speaking about all kinds of things. He's got lots of YouTube videos, and that would be TWCJR44. TWCJR44. Go to YouTube.com. Also, MyBigToe.com. So let's just get that right out of the way. So, I mean, I can't even imagine how much information you must have in that beautiful brain of yours.
Well, I hope there's room for a little more yet, because, you know, when you come down this path, you never get to the end of it. You know, there's always more things to learn.
That's a very, very, very good point. So, let's see. You're a physicist, but now explain to us how the connection was made between physics and metaphysics, if you can.
Okay. I was just, months out of graduate school, and ran into Bob Monroe, a physicist, you know, in my first job, actually. And my boss introduced me, really, to Bob Monroe. And Bob, at the time, was just putting together a laboratory for studying consciousness. That was before TMI, the Monroe Institute, existed. This was back in the early days. Bob wanted to study consciousness. He really didn't know what he was going to do or how he was going to do it. One of those, you know, build it and they will come sort of things. And I ran into Bob. He was looking for scientists. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity to learn something from this guy and find out whether he's for real or not. So we made an agreement, myself and another fella, made an agreement to be his scientist, do the protocol, and work in his lab. And the cost would be that he would teach us what he knew about the larger reality system and out of body. Of course, for those of you in your audience who don't know, Bob Monroe was the fellow that wrote Journeys Out of the Body and Far Journeys and Ultimate Journey. So his claim to fame was spontaneous out of body he learned to control. So that kind of put me in two different worlds. I was a physicist, and science was my game, and it still is. And I was learning to get around in the larger reality. And being a physicist, what we do is we model reality. We try to figure out how does reality work. What are the limits? What can you do? What can't you do? What are the rules? And that's just good physics. So I started to apply those kinds of questions to the larger reality that Bob was teaching me how to explore. And, some 35 years later, I got an idea that I had gathered enough information. I needed to share it. So that's when I wrote the trilogy, My Big Toe, three separate books, and that's it. That's the bottom line, the summary of all the research I've done.
Wow.
in the larger consciousness system. And you have to do research there. It's not like you can just go there and experience. You have to go there, do experiments, and find out how it works.
So I'm really curious to know how does it work? Because, see, I live in a strictly metaphysical world. I mean, I just go on intuition and trust, and that's how my world works. Explain to us the main things you've learned in those 35 years to make sense to everyone.
Okay, well, what I've done is come up with a toe, and toe is a theory of everything. That's kind of physics speak for a theory that explains everything. And what I have done is taken my physics and taken my experience, done the experiments in the non-physical world, if you will, and come up with a scientific explanation of how all of it works. Fundamentally, the only thing that is real is consciousness. Consciousness is the only thing that is fundamental, and from consciousness, all else derives. A consciousness, so this may be a surprise to many of your listeners, is a digital information field. Okay, all experiential realities, those are realities like the one we're in here in our universe, that where you experience things, they were all virtual realities. So fundamentally, reality is information, and consciousness is the computer, if you will. It is the information system. The appearance of objectivity in this reality is only approximation. Our reality, consciousness, is fundamentally probabilistic and statistical. Our awareness and our sense of it is entirely subjective, individual, and personal. Let's see. Why are we here? We're here to grow, to learn, to become love. And believe it or not, you know, I have technical definitions for things like love and all the rest of it. All fits into this theory very nicely. Matter of fact, the thing that's really neat about it is that as I explained the metaphysics that I was experiencing, I also realized that the very same ideas, the very same explanations would do better physics. So I solved some of the problems in physics that were out there, unsolved for now about 80 years. So it just kind of worked well on both sides.
Wow, that is so neat. Because we, you know, so many in this reality believe science is the truth. It is, you know, and is all there is. But there's people like you and Dr. Bruce Lipton and Amit Goswami and Fred Allen Wolf and Greg Braden who are scientists or physicists that are speaking more of a metaphysical spiritual reality. So this consciousness that you speak of, is that also what some people call God?
I think that's a good equivalency. A lot of people do that. I talk about the larger consciousness system, and many people who have that bent equate that with God. It is the source of all things. know, all the sort of things that come out of both Eastern and often Western theology all fit very nicely into that description, yes.
And is there a beginning or an end to that consciousness?
That consciousness is still evolving, as are we. See, we are subsets, we are pieces of that consciousness, and our job is to evolve. And evolve means, well, there's a technical term, maybe I shouldn't use this, lower the entropy of your consciousness. That means raise the quality of your consciousness, spiritual growth, becoming love. Those are all kind of synonymous. That's our job. We're here in this virtual reality to have experience, to find challenges, to exercise our intent and our free will. And by doing so, as we exercise that intent and free will to raise the quality of our consciousness, move toward being love, then we evolve. The consciousness evolves by moving in that direction. And, of course, I'm just giving you bottom lines. There is actual, you know, logical discussion that kind of derives these things. But so that's our purpose and point, and it's all evolving. And, yes, there was a beginning, and consciousness started out not what it is now. It started out as a very not very bright thing, you might say, and it evolved. It's a natural evolving system. It is both finite and in process.
Wow. This is so good and juicy. And you know what? Everything you're saying totally resonates with me, and I am not an intellectual or at all, and it makes very good sense. Now, let me ask you this. So, this consciousness is what created people and animals and the earth?
Yes. We are all, this universe of ours, which includes people and animals and earth, are all part of a virtual reality. And we populate this particular virtual reality like it's a learning lab. It's a place you go to have experience, to grow up, to become love, to evolve the quality of consciousness. That's what it's there. It is all a part of consciousness. Yes.
The thing is, you know, I guess it's always been the unexplainable, inexplainable, how one could wrap their head around this type of consciousness that can make such perfection when you look at people and animals and nature. It's just, it's awe-inspiring.
Well, it does that through evolution. You see, this reality of ours wasn't just put together, like every blade of grass wasn't manufactured on its own. The whole thing evolved. Think of, here's maybe one way to make it make sense to you. This is a big information system, and if you think, what is your reality? It's information. It's the information your senses collect. That information, let's say your eyes, the visual, turns into electrical impulses, right, at the retina. And then it turns into patterns of neurons. All that is just information. So if you could have your brain stimulated just like it is now, even if you were in a deep, dark hole someplace with no light and no sound and no sense of touch, you would have the same experience you're having now. So you realize that our experience, our reality, is just information. Okay, so now we take that one step further and say that we don't actually need these bodies. These bodies are just virtual. All this physical stuff, what did the Buddha call it? Maya, it's not real. And what it is information. This is a virtual reality. We're sort of like the characters in a virtual reality game, like The Sims.
Yeah.
So it's all just information.
Interesting. So do you have any information or definitions for, say, the soul of people, or that part of us that is inside this physical body, which is consciousness?
That's our consciousness.
Okay. And where does that go when the body goes?
Pardon?
Where does that go when the body goes?
Oh, the body goes, if you'd like a kind of a little sequence of what happens when you die.
Sure.
We're in this virtual reality. So, again, we are information. We're not actually physical beings at all. So when your so-called physical body dies, what happens is you just do a little switch to the reality frame in which you're, you know, in which you're aware. So it's just like shifting your awareness from one reality frame to another. You find yourself awake in a different reality frame. Now, this reality frame is meant, there's lots of different reality frames. It's not just this earth frame and then the big out there frame. There's lots of different reality frames. There's lots of different physical realities like this one. We're not just it, you know, there's a lot more. But anyway, after you die, you wake up in another reality frame, and in that reality frame, it's specialized to help you make the transition from this frame to basically a larger frame where you can, again, plan how you're going to do this thing you're supposed to do, which is move toward love, to grow up, to increase the quality of your consciousness. And eventually, after you make this transition, you end up then coming back to a reality like this one, in other words, reincarnating back here in order to grow again, because you don't get it all in one shot. You have to work at this idea of growing spiritually, and we are part of the larger system strategy for its evolution. As we evolve, lower our entropy, it evolves and lowers its entropy, because we're just a part of it, you see. So as we grow, it changes as well. So we're all part of this evolving consciousness system. And there are many different reality frames, one of which is this frame we're in. Another one is a frame that we'll go to after we exit this frame, and that's a frame, like I say, to help us transition and get back into the game. And then there's other frames, like our dreaming frame. That's a different reality frame. And all these reality frames are all equally real. It's just the one that you're in at the time seems physical. So when mm-hmm. you're dreaming, in that dream, it seems physical, and this universe of ours doesn't seem physical at all, doesn't exist. And when you're in this one, those realities don't seem physical. So there really is no such thing as a physical and non-physical realities. You just have different reality frames, and whether they're physical or not is just the perception of the observer.
So in all your research of altered states of consciousness, et cetera, did you do any time travel? Did you actually see or experience other realities?
Oh, yes. Many, both time travel and going to other reality frames. I would say probably a dozen or more different physical realities, such as, you know, maybe it would help you understand if I say different universes other than this one. Lots of different non-physical reality frames.
And
so, sure, there's lots of things to do and visit. You know, people to meet, babies to kiss, you know, places to go in the larger reality.
Did some of these physical realities, were they similar to this one? I mean, as far as, were there people? Did they look like us?
Yeah, more or less. Not always, but mostly there are. But, you know, that's a matter of interpretation. You see, we as consciousness are like a subset of information. We trade information. And when you trade information, the information you receive, you have to interpret. And you interpret it in terms of your experience base. That's the only thing you have to interpret it by. So when we run into something that gives us data and, say, interacts with us, then we immediately interpret that as a being. So you find beings there, and if you don't know how to express them because they're foreign to you, you tend to make them humanoid anyway. So much of what you see and much of what you experience is filtered through your own awareness and own understanding.
So for those just joining us, it's 25 past the hour. I'm Sheila Gale, and this is Inspiration for Your Life. Tom Campbell is a nuclear physicist. He is our guest. He is the author of a trilogy, Theory of Everything, or TOE. You can visit him on YouTube by just typing in TWCJR44 for lots and lots of information about his 35 years of study and research from the physical to the metaphysical, and he's here to share with us a lot of those findings. So what can you do in this physical reality by operating in the non-physical?
Well, there are many things you can do in this reality by, you know, understanding how the larger reality works. One of them is you can use your mind to heal. Another is that you can gain information about what is probable in the future. You can, and the future is not a done deal. You have free will, and free will requires that you can change your mind. So the future is just probabilistic, and you can look at those probabilities, and with your intent, you can change those probabilities. You know, that's how healing works. That's how, let's see, what was it? The secret, I can't think of the other terms, but that's how that works. It's an intent.
The law of attraction?
Yeah,
law of attraction. Thoughts become things.
Your intent modifies future probability. So you can interact in many ways that affect this reality system by working through the larger reality.
So what was I going to say? I want to know everything. I want to know it now. Okay, so what do you think about what's going on? Because here's what's happened for me and for hundreds of people that I know, that in these last 5 or so years, things seem to be accelerating. Synchronicities seem to be happening all the time. Of course, I'm really, you know, I came from a dark place of, you know, a lot of depression and, you know, yuckiness, like a lot of people have had their dark night of the soul, so to speak. So I am extremely excited about the possibilities, the infinite possibilities of this lifetime and in this reality. What do you feel about what it may be going on right now that's different from 30 years ago?
Well, you know, evolution is one of those things, and it's just like learning. You know, it's growing. And the more you know, the easier it is to know more. The more you grow, the more you take one step, the easier it is to take two more. So what happens is that these things do tend to accelerate. They do tend to gain momentum, if you will. And we have had over the past years, you know, we've had a lot of trauma and a lot of fear that's been going around. And as that starts to ease, I believe we're beginning to find kind of our inner self. More, we're beginning to see and feel bigger pictures. We're beginning to get in touch with our intuition, and feel that there's something more. There's something going on here, and that excites us, and we want to pursue that. So, yes, we are in a resurgence, if you will, of spiritual growth, for want of a better term, that I think is just wonderful. I'm glad to see it, glad to feel it, and like you say, it's in the air. Everywhere.
It's in the air everywhere. Our guest is Tom Campbell. His website is mybigtoe.com. We're going to take a short little break, and we'll come back and find out more about this larger reality with Tom Campbell back in a moment.
Energy and heal yourself 24/7 from anywhere in the world. This exciting spiritual technology has been featured in best-selling books like Natural Cures and in Dr. Wayne Dyer's There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. To learn more about the AIM program and energetic self-healing, visit aimprogram.com or call 877-500-3622 to request an information packet. Ask about our complimentary scholarship programs for those with the frequency of autism or Down syndrome. Join nearly 50,000 worldwide and unleash your natural self-healing abilities with the AIM program of energetic balancing. Learn how to raise your consciousness, increase your life force, attract abundance, love, and more. Call 877-500-3622 or visit aimprogram.com for details.
Hello, listeners of The Sheila Show. This is Dr. Dane here. and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. Go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What if you had a life beyond your wildest imagination? What if life is about living in the question? I'm Sheila Gale. Access Consciousness are tools and processes that allow you to change anything in your life that is not working for you. Isn't that cool? One of the main concepts in Access is the question. What if instead of question answer, it was question receive? You see, as humans, we're great doers and givers, but lousy receivers. We're meant to receive, but we've forgotten how. Access Consciousness is unlike any technique or modality I've ever seen. It is here now because it's time now for us to wake up to the truth that we are infinite beings and to stop playing small. What if the answer is actually the question, like, what would it take for me to have lots and lots of money? Instead of looking for answers, there's awareness and energy that allows the universe to send it to you. Answers, conclusions, opinions all stop the flow of energy. How does it get any better than this? For more information, go to accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com.
Beauty queen of only 18.
And we're back. It's 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Sheila Gale, sending you infinite love and appreciation. We have a wonderful guest with us today, Tom Campbell. He is the author of a trilogy, Theory of Everything, or TOE. He is a nuclear physicist who has been on a path of research for 35 years, and he's here to share some of the secrets of the universe. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Sheila.
So I just want to ask you what you would like. Is there something you would like our listeners to know?
Well, yes, let me. I think the thing that maybe would be most helpful to your listeners is to tell them that they don't need to do anything. It's not about doing. It's not about the right recipe or the right prescription or the right courses to take. It's about being. It's about who they are. They don't need to be able to go out of body or remote view or do any of those sorts of paranormal things in order to become spiritual. The thing that they need to do is just look at every single small choice they make in their everyday life and make that choice based on caring and love for others. And if you do that, if you try to get rid of your fear, fear is the enemy, fear is the opposite of love. If you try to get rid of your fear, get rid of your ego, get rid of all those wants, needs, and desires which attach you to this physical reality, you will find that things just automatically get better and that the life unfolds very pleasantly in front of you one step at a time. Live in the present moment. And don't worry about process. Don't worry about what to do, what to think, what to read. Just be, and be caring, be loving, and all the rest will fall into place.
Wow, beautifully said. Someone dear to me said, the only thing that matters in the end is who you loved and how you loved. And I think, like you mentioned, all those interactions with people are very important. And I find myself being very angry and rude to some customer service people on the telephone until it was recently brought to my attention how important what you're saying is to be kind to everyone.
Yes, well, that that saying that you say, well, somebody made me angry. Nobody can make you anything. You choose to be angry, and you can choose to be not angry. That's the kind of choices you have to make.
So, as far as time and space, so time was created by man, is that correct?
No, not by man. Time is basically a technology of consciousness. Now, our time that's on this universe, the time that we, goes tick-tock on our clocks, that is a creation for this particular reality frame. Every reality frame has its own clock, if you will, its own time. But because this is data, and data needs to be sequenced and things, you have to have a before and after. You can't learn without time. Before I didn't know this, now I do know that. There's a difference. You can't grow without time. So time is an inherent technology of consciousness. It's fundamental. But our time, our local time here in this universe, was constructed just for this universe. And you can go, outside of that time and get into other time, get into places that run up by other clocks. Matter of fact, your dreaming reality is different. How many times have you had a dream and it seemed like your dream went on for a week, but it only took 10 minutes, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Time is different in these different reality frames. So time is fundamental. Space is not. And in our reality, both time and space are discrete. In other words, they come in little chunks. That's the way simulations work. That's the way digital reality works. So if you look small enough of a piece of space, you'll find it gets granular. In physics, they call that the Planck length, after Max Planck. And that's where your space becomes chunky. It's not continuous. And the same with time. If you can look at time that's small enough, you find that time isn't continuous. It comes in little chunks and pieces. That's because of the nature of this being a virtual reality.
So this love that you speak of, this consciousness that you speak of, I have an opinion about religion, but where does religion come in? Is there a power greater than us? Should we be praying to something bigger than we are? Or is that just made to corral man, to limit man?
Well, it does both. It depends on how you approach it. Is there something bigger than us? Well, certainly. There's there's consciousness. We are just these little virtual physical bodies running around here having experience that help us grow up. There's certainly something much larger to us. Now, if and that truth has bubbled up from, 4,000 years B.C. or so. It bubbled up a long time ago and keeps coming back because it's fundamentally, the way it is. But now if you approach it, let's say, from a fearful viewpoint that says, well, if there's this something that's much bigger than we, then we better get on its good side and we need to do this. And if you don't do this, you're going to suffer this way. And we get into the fear trip, and then that concept is damaging. It traps us. We get trapped in our fear and expectations. And then we make a bunch of rules and say, well, this larger conscious system, here's what it wants us to do. And one of the main things I want you to do is, put money in the basket. And that becomes, a business. So we need to understand, yes, there is something bigger than us. And yes, we do need to pay attention to that. But it's not, it's not fear-based. It's not punishment-based. It's not follow these rules-based. It has nothing to do with that. The only thing you really need to do is grow up and become love. Everything else isn't important. So all the ritual, all of the dogma, all of the, the do's and not to do's that come in religious organizations are all beside the point. Just grow up, become love, and then you're doing it right.
Are you a meditator?
I used to be a meditator, but meditation is a tool, and it was a tool that I used to get connected to the larger consciousness system, but eventually you outgrow that tool. That tool becomes unnecessary. So now I don't meditate as much as if my going out of body can happen in tenths of seconds. I can just switch my consciousness focus and there I am in a different reality system. So it's meditation isn't really necessary for anyone. I guess you could say I outgrew that tool. But, yes, meditation is a very wonderful thing. And I guess you would say that I do my own meditation. information in a different way, but it's very quick and doesn't take a lot of time.
So does your life, do things show up pretty quickly by your intention or asking?
Well, yes. You know, I live my life in the present moment pretty much, and I tend to just let it happen the way it happens. I don't tend to like program things. What I use my intent for to make changes is when I'm healing or traveling or, you know, doing that sort of thing. Then your intent has to be what guides you. Otherwise, you wouldn't do anything. You just kind of sit there if you had no intent. So you need an intent. And yes, I find that my intents generally are followed almost immediately, you know, kind of instantaneously. But I don't really ask for things. It's not like, you know, geez, I'd like a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
That's not important. You know, I don't ask for things because I don't need things. What it's about is dealing effectively with love and caring with whatever happens to you, with whatever comes to you. So trying to modify what that future reality is going to be, you're like messing in your own game. You know, that's not really the thing to do. The better thing to do is just accept, you know, you encounter whatever comes your way and deal with it, and deal with it with love. And when you do that, you find that what comes your way are the most wonderful things and the terrific opportunities, and that life is joy and beautiful. It all just kind of takes care of itself. You don't have to go ask for things. Things just come to you as you need them. And, you know, it's kind of like the just-in-time economic system. Things just kind of fall right in front of me just at the time that it's important that I need that.
It's wonderful. Now, are you doing any workshops, teaching classes, traveling, anything like that?
Yeah, I do that. I go do workshops and give lectures places. I've been all over the place. I've got one coming up September 23 and 25 in Calgary, Canada. That's up in the Canadian Rockies. Then about a month after that, November the 4th and 5th, I'm going to be in southern Spain.
Wow.
So
nice.
I get around, and I have lots of them. I've been all over the country here giving workshops. But the place to go to find out about that is www.mbtevents, MBT, of course, being my big toe, events.com. And I have a couple of lovely people there, Keith and Donna, who run that site, and they kind of schedule and arrange and take care of all my trips and workshops and that sort of thing. They've got the schedule.
So having this, you know, sort of scientific background and now really, you know, getting into the metaphysical, they used to be very separate, didn't they? It was kind of like science is all there is. So, how does that feel to you? Do you feel that science books need to be changed? What, you know, I know Bruce Lipton sure said that, you know, we need to change science books, they're incorrect. How powerful are we? You say we can heal ourselves. Do you believe everybody has the ability to do that?
Oh, sure. Everybody is consciousness. It's just that everybody is not as able to do it, but everybody certainly has the ability to do it. Everyone has that potential, but it's something you have to grow up to utilize that potential. So, of course we do. But, yes, the science is just wrong. Science is built now on a belief that we live in an objective reality. We do not live in an objective reality. We live in a probabilistic and statistical reality. And their own experiments, their own research shows that. It's just that it's a belief, a very strong belief, and they don't want to give it up. Problem is they don't want to give it up is because it turns out that when you give that up, you basically say that the you know, the fundamental basis of science is flawed, and it is. But it's not that you have to, you know, leave what we know now. What we know now, science is good. Technology is good. It does good things for people. But you have to realize it's just a special case. There's a larger reality of which that objective reality is just a piece, just an approximation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it always works out that way. You know, when relativity and quantum mechanics overrode Newtonian mechanics, then it's not that nobody, you know, paying attention to, you know, Newton's laws anymore. It's just that we realize that Newton's laws applied as a special case within a certain boundary. Well, relativity and quantum mechanics just apply as a special case within a certain boundary, and we need to raise our vision to a larger reality and see, the view from that larger spot. And the nice thing is that it solves physics problems, too. Physicists don't know why particles ought to be probability distributions. They don't know why the speed of light ought to be constant. They're at Pear Labs at Princeton. They don't know why people can use their mind to change, you know, counts on a Geiger counter or make a robot that is programmed to move in a tight little circle, you know, walk off the table. But yet they have done that research, and it's all a big mystery. Well, with this larger view of reality, all those things just fall out as normal, as does the paranormal becomes normal. It's no longer something that's paranormal. It's just
a new normal. The new normal.
Yeah, it's just the way things are. It's the way the reality works.
Tom Campbell is a nuclear physicist and an author and a very sought-after speaker. He is our guest today. His book is a trilogy called The Theory of Everything, or TOE, T-O-E, My Big Toe.
It's called My Big Toe is the actual name of
okay,
it.
Okay, My Big Toe.
Yeah.
And if you have more, want more information on Tom's work, also YouTube, go to TWCJR44, and there's lots of great videos of Tom and his work and what he's learned. And now let me ask you this about the brain, because we hear mind, we hear consciousness, we hear brain. Do you think part of the brain has been atrophied, maybe a part that is the brain waking up? Are we where does the heart fit in here? Any comments about those?
Okay. The brain, just like the body, is virtual. There is no, the physical does not exist. Again, the brain and our body set limitations. They set constraints on what we can do here according to the rule set that governs this virtual reality. And that would be our science, our physics. So we can't do things here that violate our rule set. Just like in a virtual reality game, the characters can't do things that aren't part of their rule set, things that they can do. So the brain is just a constraint on us, and we have not explored that the far reaches of that constraint. Let's put it that way. The constraint is far out past the point of what we have explored. There's much more there. I don't know. I wouldn't say that the brain has atrophied. I'd say we just don't use what we've got. You know, our control over our mind is very scattered. Our mind jumps here and there. Our thoughts go every which direction. We don't have a lot of control, which is what meditation is for. That's the tool you use to help get your mind settled down to where you can experience consciousness and not all these thoughts running around. So, yes, there is much that we can do with our minds. The two hemispheres ought to not be struggling with each other. They ought to be unified as one. You should be right-brained and left-brained both. You should be intuitive and logical. No need to be just one or the other. A whole brain person then is more effective.
What do you know or believe about infinite possibilities in this lifetime for people?
Well, you know, infinite is a metaphor. Infinite is a word that isn't actually a reality. In mathematics, of course, you can never get to infinity because however big a number you get, you can always add more to that. So infinity is a concept that means larger than you can possibly imagine. And yes, our reality is larger than any of us can possibly imagine. Now, it's still finite, but to us it seems infinite. Like if we were sitting in an inner tube in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, that ocean would seem infinite to us. It would be the same. Every direction we looked, we could see nothing different in any way. It would look infinite, but it's really not. Well, that's kind of the way consciousness is. And yes, we have probable future, and our probable future we can modify with our intent. And we have lots of choices. And every time we make a choice, the next choices we get are affected by that choice we just made. So
mm-hmm.
Where we go with our choices, what we become, what we make of ourselves, and how we grow is entirely up to us, one choice at a time. There are lots of realities and lots of choices. So I would say we can approximate that. We use the metaphor that there are infinite possibilities for us to explore.
And that little visual you gave of being in an inner tube, or let's say you're in a boat stranded in the middle of the ocean, okay? Say that actually happened to someone. I mean, it has happened to people, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Would it be possible for you, knowing what you know, to actually have someone find you?
Well, you certainly could increase that probability. You see, with your intent, the probability of being found, if you can focus your intent on that, you can actualize that and raise that probability. So, yes, that you can affect the probability of what your future, of what happens and the choices that you have.
I like that.
And you can raise, you can change that probability for others, too. That's how you can heal with your mind. You can heal another person's illness because you can modify the probable future for that person and their illness.
Hmm. Very good. Wow. So this is such a wonderful conversation with our guest, Tom Campbell.
Always too short, though. Always too short.
That's why you have lots of YouTube videos.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I have those videos. This is a big subject. When you're talking about a theory of everything,
yeah,
it's really hard to even scratch the surface in, you know, 2 or 3 hours. It's just like that.
Right. But, you know, I'm definitely on the path to creating lots of possibilities and trying to stay in the moment and do what I love. And, you know, I feel like I think it's really exciting. It's an exciting time. But yet there's so many people that are, you know, they're really down and they're buying into the economy and buying into the bad health. And, you know, I guess, like you said, we all have a choice.
Choices, and every one of us is out there really trying to do the best they can with, you know, with what they are and what they bring to the table and the things they have to deal with. And it's just a struggle, but you should have empathy and love for all those people, even the ones that aren't doing very well, because they're doing basically the best they can with what they've got. We're all at different positions on this evolutionary path, and we're just kind of doing what we can.
Yeah, well, you're doing great work, Tom, and thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing all your hard work and information that you've learned. My Big Toe Trilogy, you can get that by going to mybigtoe.com. Also go to YouTube, TWCJR44, if you'd like to hear lots more from Tom. And, hey, I hope we'll be able to talk again really soon, Tom.
Yeah, well, it's been fun, Sheila. I'd enjoy that. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You are so welcome. Bye-bye, my friend.
Bye-bye.
So with just a couple moments to go, I just wanted to let you know that I am going to be going to Costa Rica for 7 days to become an Access Consciousness Facilitator. And I can't wait to be with you when I come back, because I'm going to be a different person. One of the greatest tools in Access is this question, who does this belong to? You know, you are far more psychic than you ever gave yourself credit for. 98% of your thoughts and feelings and emotions don't even belong to you. You're like the psychic SpongeBob of the universe, you know? So let me ask you this. What secret agenda for the creation of always claiming the whispers of other people's realities as yours do you have that maintains and entrains that you cannot change, choose, and institute as total awareness of perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving you? Did you understand that? I hope not. Everything that is times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate it? Right, wrong, good, bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. You see, what I have learned is that when we start ending judgment of ourselves, our lives will change. When we stop judging every single person we see and every single thing in the mirror that you see of yourself, when you actually stop that, your life will change. When we actually look at everything that anybody says to us as just an interesting point of view, your life will change. What it's actually doing is just as Tom was saying earlier, everything we know, all the religions, everything you've been taught, everything you've known in past lifetimes, this lifetimes, is just a bunch of information that you were taught, that you were told. Does it mean it's true? No. Does it mean it's real? No. It's just information. What if all the information that you have about how limited your life is and how far you can only go is a bunch of BS? What if actually the truth is that you are far more magnificent than you have ever known, and that infinite possibility is available to you and infinite abundance? What if that's actually the truth? And what would it take for that to, what would it look like for that to be in your life? What would it take for you to be, to know, and to receive, instead of being a human doing, to actually be and receive, receiving? What if the universe actually has your back? Very interesting. I send you infinite love and appreciation. I love you. I believe in you. You're here to make a difference, and you know it. So put on your big boy and big girl shoes and get out there and be who you are. Don't let anybody not let you be who you are. You're amazing. Until next time.
Let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. Spend yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. Staring at the blank page before you. Open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find reaching for something in the distance. So close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibition. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. Spend yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. The rest is still unwritten.
Community Radio for the Central Coast, AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.
Hi, everyone. This is Ariane.
The moderator has left the conference.